I really feel like if there's anything that you and I need to do is to take the time to really survey how real heaven is. And to understand that it doesn't matter. I know some of the things that you and I just heard tonight, read to us, it seems so painful. It seems so tragic. It seems like something that would be greater than what we are able to bear. But if you compare what you and I are about to receive with anything that could happen to us on this earth, there is no amount of pain in this world, whether it be emotionally or physically or mentally or spiritually or whatever disappointment you have, there is nothing that's comparable to heaven. And heaven is not temporal. It's for eternity. Pain is something that eventually will go away. You know, they can kill you, but when you die, that pain goes away. But heaven is forever. Forever and ever and ever. I heard one man describe it this way. He said, if you could find just a little chickadee, just a little small bird with just a small little beak, and that bird would come over to these shores over here somewhere, maybe the West Coast, and would just take one grain of sand and fly all the way across the ocean and find another place to deposit it. When that bird had got every grain of sand from the West Coast and deposited it on another shore, eternity would just have begun. Heaven's going to be worth it here tonight. Heaven's going to be worth it. We're not here to make you worry or to make you fear. You see, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Everything Brother Jared just read to you is to remind you that we have such an opportunity. Man, what an opportunity we have to get in this place tonight and without anybody restricting us. I'm going to be honest right now. It makes me feel comfortable to know that if some moron comes in here with guns tonight, and I say that very reverently, some moron comes in here with guns tonight, there's probably 5 or 6 guns already in here. And we love you, but bless God, we're Americans. And we throw bullets back the same way they come. Because it's our right. And because as of right now, I don't have to watch my little girl be beat. But God, give me a heart that could. Give me a willingness that says, Lord, I'd surrender her to you because she belongs to you anyway. And you've just lent her to me. Man, I was stirred by what I heard tonight. So thankful for that. Glad for every burden that has brought this crowd together and the vision that Brother Davis has had and Brother Jared has had to invite you all here and for us to get together and see the Lord do something wonderful among us. And I guess they've invited me here because they want to show you that even after 10 years of full-time ministry, you are very likely to mess up. So we appreciate you being here tonight. Proverbs chapter 25. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here. I hope that we do have a 3-hour altar call. That'd be all right with me. But I'd like for my part just to be quick and get out of the way and let the Lord have his way. Proverbs chapter 25. I want to read a very familiar verse of Scripture. A very familiar verse. Verse 28. If you're there tonight, say amen. Proverbs 25 and 28. I'm looking for a bigger amen than that because we got lots of people here and I want the world around us to know that we're saved. So if you're saved tonight and you're there, Proverbs 25, 28, say amen like you're saved. Amen. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I know it's a short scripture, so I want to read it again. I want to resonate in your mind. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. There's nobody here tonight that likes restrictions. If we'd be honest, we don't like feeling like we've been hemmed in. We don't like tight spots. We don't like to feel as if we're on a chain or a leash. We don't like for something to be there that is a restriction that keeps us from going certain places. But at the same time, there's no better feeling in the world than the safety of knowing there is a barrier between you and an adversary. There's no better feeling than knowing there's a lock on the door when you go to sleep. There's no better feeling than knowing that the windows are up and that there's a security system on it and that you've got a persuader close to your bed. Spiritually speaking here tonight, here's what I'd like to tell us, is that you and I look at this, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down. It's a city that's lost its defense. A city that has walls is a city that is immune from a surprise attack. Here's what I'd like to tell us tonight, that what I'm afraid of is you look around and people that should have the greatest immunity in the world are somehow being overcome by an enemy that seemed to come out of nowhere. It's amazing to me that you and I, as men and women of God, we have the best security system, the greatest defense in the world, and yet still somehow people manage to backslide. If God would help me for just a little while tonight, I want to preach about the security within those walls and how we ought to build them up a little higher every day. A little higher every day. You say, you don't know how high my morals are. It's not just about your morals. It's about every day making sure they're still there. Because it seems to me that things change from day to day, from hour to hour, from week to week. It's going to sound a little bit odd when I first say it, but I want to preach tonight for just a few moments on overcoming spiritually acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Overcoming spiritually acquired immune deficiency syndrome. You can put it up on there, Sister Megan. I want to preach this for a few minutes tonight on overcoming spiritual AIDS. If you've got a strong immune system, it doesn't matter what comes your way, you can overcome it and kick it out. But if your immunity is gone, you are somebody that is catching everything coming and going. And we are living in a sick church day where it seems like we are catching everything. But I believe tonight, before we leave, we can build up our immune system and know I don't have to catch what's going around. Because I have power, I have safety and security in the blood of Jesus Christ. How many believe that tonight? I don't have to sin a little bit every day. I don't have to fall prey to some trick of the enemy. I don't have to say yes to temptation. But I can resist the devil and know that he's got to flee because I've got power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hands tonight? Let's ask God to have his way. Lord, I love you. I thank you tonight, Lord, for this privilege that I have. God, I pray that your word would come to me with anointing. God, that you'd anoint every ear of every hearer tonight. God, I pray that you'd move through this congregation. God, my expectation is for your will to be done. No, I've not seen the end of that yet. God, we come tonight walking by faith, believing that you're about to move around these altars. God, that you're about to speak to young people and elderly people and middle-aged people all alike. God, I pray that you'd move with your Shekinah glory. Let your anointing come down in this place and remind us of the powerful God that we serve. I pray that you'd move all around us. Let your will be done. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because you're worthy of it all. We ask it and believe it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. May God bless you. Reach over and shake somebody's hand. Say, let them know you're glad they came. Hallelujah. Can I have just a little bit more monitor, Sister Barb? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I could preface this for just a moment, I really felt burdened. I know sometimes when we come in, and we come with a little different slant. You get a lot of strange looks. But if there's anything that's really been overwhelming here as of late, it's the lethargicness, and it is those that have seemed to be so stable, individuals that seem to have such opportunity, and people that have such talent, and they're losing their life, losing their soul, and throwing things away for such frivolous things. I believe the reason, the cause of this is that there are many that remain an easy target to the enemy because they never believed that the enemy could ever get them in the spot where he got them. Can I just tell you tonight that salvation is not exemption? I'm going to say it again. I believe that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that you have a defense system that is strong and is powerful. And I don't believe the devil can penetrate that defense. I believe that you and I, like Job, live behind a hedge of protection because the angels of God encamp around about them that fear and love and trust the Lord. I believe that's you and me. But at the same time, I find that the day that I'm living in, there are so many individuals that have an attitude that is this. I may have some faults and I've identified them. I usually identify my faults when they are repetitively told to me, hey, you've got this or you've got that. I made a little joke last night, but we were talking on the way home from the restaurant and we were talking about the problems sometimes that we have and how cautious you have to be in the ministry. And Sister Mandy said, that's why no matter what, you have to make sure that you are 0% not a hothead. That's what she said. You can't be 2%. I said, Sister Mandy, that takes me out completely because I'm pretty sure I'm about 4.5%. You know, I'm not sure that I'm less than that. You know, I have a temper. I have owned that. Hi, my name's Noah Hatfield. I have a temper, and I have to work on it. You say, well, you're the only one. No, I don't believe I'm the only one in the room that would admit to maybe one act of the flesh that is something that you're still working on. And on a daily basis, you're waking up saying, God, help me to crucify this flesh. Help me to be the man that you're wanting me to be. Here's what I've come to tell us, is that the Bible lets us know in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I've come to let us know as young individuals and older individuals alike, the devil is stalking you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you like, and he's the type of individual that has got more time than what you have. He's been observing you, and he's the kind of individual that knows the attitude that you have. I'm going to just break it down this way. I am a very happily married man. I am 100% a heterosexual. I've never had a desire to go the other way. I've checked myself at least 10 times in my life. I don't have a feminine side. I don't. There's nothing in me that leans that way that is not straight. I love my wife. I'm very happy to announce that I'm happily married. And I would probably tell you, if you were to come and ask me, do you have a problem with homosexual tendencies? I'd say, no. There's other things I fight in my life, but I don't fight that. That's not my problem. But can I tell you, Brother Bagley, just because I don't have any of those tendencies does not mean that I don't build up a wall and guard against that. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the moment that you feel like you've got an area so whipped in your flesh and you will never have a problem with that, that's the moment you leave that portion of your life unguarded and you are an open, easy target for the devil. I am preaching to a generation that has been losing their soul in means and ways that they have declared. I may lose it this way or that way, but never there. Never there. And because of that, they've never guarded that. They've never tried to build it up. They've never tried to keep the... I've come to tell you, there is none of us in this room that can afford to leave a nook, a cranny, a crack where the devil can see in, because he is looking to devour. He wants to come in and mess you up. He wants to destroy your soul. I've come to tell you, don't be an easy target for the devil. Don't remain an easy prey, but make up your mind. I'm going to build up in areas that the world thinks is unnecessary. I'm going to have high respect for those that I love and appreciate. I'm going to call my pastor, and I'm not just going to call him George. I'm not just going to call him Jared, but you're going to be Brother Jared, and you're going to be Brother George. Why? Because I'm building up a wall that's high enough that does not let me lose respect for you and your position. There are are individuals that's lost their soul, not because they didn't have a defense, but because they did not build in the area that they thought they were immune from. God, help us to open our eyes and let the world know that we realize that we live in bodies that are completely capable of any sin if it's not reined in by the Spirit. God, help us to know who we are and to build a wall of defense round about us. The reason we're here is because we're trying to deal with ministry. And ministry is a high, lofty position. It is not a vocational desire. It's not a vocational choice. If it was, I'd have chose something different. But it's for those that are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Here's what I've come to tell us tonight is that the attitude we need to understand and have is that there's been better men and women that sat in pews and in churches just like this, better than us, have seen more miracles than us, and they've backslid. So how much more do we have to defend ourselves? Let me preach for just a few moments. I know that as you and I look at this, that age is relatively new. I say that because I'm in my 30s and I'm a little older than some of you, but I remember when it became a really big deal. It seemed like to me it was back in the early 90s. And when AIDS really started coming out and people started talking about it and thinking about it, we were all scared to death because we did not realize how you contracted it. How was something that you came in contact with and became infected. I began studying and looking at what I find is that there's a lot of individuals that for years, I mean, they were scared to go certain places, didn't want to be around somebody. If they found out somebody in the community had AIDS, they didn't want to shake his hand. They didn't want to get near him. They were worried about him coughing. I'll still say this. I still don't want to go to a restaurant where the cook has AIDS. If that's a problem, I still don't want to go there. I know that we know more about it now, but I still have no desire. Why? Because there's this healthy fear that says, I don't want to contact that disease. But as I begin reading and studying up about it, I believe that with every physical problem we have in the natural, I believe it was given birth by the parent realm, which is the spiritual first. I believe that there was problems with spiritual AIDS way back in the early church before physical natural AIDS ever became a problem. So if you would just rumor with me for a moment, if you would just stay with me, I just want to preach. You and I know that there's an acronym here, and you and I know that there are several things that we find out about AIDS. Give me just a moment, I'll preach those to you, and I'll get out of your way. Number one, you and I understand that the A in AIDS is simply saying that it is acquired. It is caught, it's bought, or it's picked up. It stays in you. It's not something that most people go looking for. It is not a disease that is solicited or most people ask about it, but it does have to do with the wrong type of relationship with another person. I'm not going to get graphic here tonight. I don't believe I have to, but here's what I've come to tell you is the improper place at the improper time is the way you get this disease. It is acquired. It's not something you shouldn't have been there. It's not something that you just accidentally stumbled upon. I know that people have got it now with needles and different things like that, but for the most part, it still is highly given because of the improper relationship of people. Can I tell you here tonight, young people, that you and I are highly affected by the individuals we hang around? Can I declare to you that it is contagious, that if somebody's got a bad attitude and you are not the type of individual that has immunity against that, you will become the same reflection of the world around you. But if you and I are true agents of Jesus Christ, we should not be individuals that are constantly being affected by our surroundings, but because you and I are agents of His grace, whatever atmosphere we step into, you and I have the power that we can change it for the good. We can transform it for the better. Somebody look at your neighbor and understand, I don't have to be like them. I can make them like me.
I don't have to be a doubter. I can be a believer. I don't have to be somebody that is fearful, but I can be brave. I don't have to be somebody that's giving up and giving in, but I can be an overcomer with a mindset that knows that Jesus lives on the inside and is working on the outside. God, help us to realize that it does matter where you are, who you hang out with, and the types of relationships that you have with one another. A wrong type of relationship. A wrong type of relationship. You see, I understand that we live in a world where we have to go to work with sinners. But we don't have to go spend all of our free time with them. And if you're an individual that you're constantly choosing to go spend time with the wicked when you don't have to, and it bothers you to be around saints of God, you better watch out, because you're creating a wrongful relationship. You're creating a wrongful relationship. Young men, young women, can I tell us here tonight that that's why you and I have to be so vigilant and so careful. We have to stay within inside the guidelines of the Bible and understand that we cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Let me give you a demonstration why. Brother Jared, come here just a moment. I find that Brother Jared's probably real close to my size. He's taller and he's lanky here. But just try to pull me down from here. All right. Now hop up there. Now pull me up. Y'all get the demonstration? Let me tell you what it is. It's easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull them up. It's easier for you to be somebody that though you're standing on higher ground, you say, I'm not going to be changed. I'm not going to be affected by. I'm going to tell you tonight that you are somebody that has the disadvantage from the moment you walk in. You say, I'm a Christian. I'm stronger. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to commit to lifting somebody up, you better be in it for the long haul. You better have somebody else with you. I preached it last week at Truth Camp. If you're going to get somebody to the presence of the Lord that's really got a problem, it took four men to carry one individual that was sick of the palsy. That's not a relationship you need to enter into by yourself. That's not a commitment that you need to make to, oh God help me, by yourself. You better look around and understand, he that builds a building better count the cost before he goes to building it. And some of you, before you enter into a relationship with somebody that's going to involve emotions and love and petting and kissing, you better realize what you're getting into. You better make up your mind. You know the cost. You better understand that there are things that you can acquire, that you can pick up, and the next thing you know, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like feeling what I'm feeling. But because you've been in places that you shouldn't have been, now you've woke up with problems that you should have never had. We've got a relationship problem in our churches. We need to rise and declare, I'm going to live within the secret place of the Most High. I'm going to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to take my refuge in a place where there is safety and peace and strength in God's presence. It is acquired. Something you picked up. It's not accidental. You got it. Because you were somewhere you weren't supposed to be. Its presence is related to the broken down barriers or lack of walls in your life. Help me say this right, Lord. There are some of us that we have had, as soon as we got saved, I mean, we had such high expectations. And then because tarrying and waiting on the Lord isn't always an overnight experience, the longer we tarry and the longer we wait, there's sometimes that we get lonely by ourselves. There's sometimes that we wouldn't let certain people in, but now all of a sudden seems like they're the only people close. And what we used to have a resistance for and a wall built up, they could never get in. We've just opened the door and we've let certain things in that should not be there. It should have never gotten this close. It should have never went this far. I have a young lady that's related to me,
And I love her. I love her very much, probably as much as anybody else I love in my family. She's very close to us. But here's what I found just within the last little bit. She's getting up about 22, 23 years of age. And you know, everybody in that category, everybody's worried they're going to be an old maid, you know. And everybody starts going to the these different Bible college places trying to make sure that they find a mate, you know. And they're trying to make sure that they don't get left out. And they want to be super careful. And here's what I found is that she hasn't gone to Bible college. She's been working. She's been staying. She's been faithful at the home church. And all of a sudden, the devil said, Romeo. And this Romeo, somebody we've known for a long time, an individual that we have known since, I mean, just very little kids. And now he's here, and he's a smiler, and he's a looker, and he's somebody that, well, he's a charmer. The only problem is this Romeo's got an ex-wife and three kids. And what I found is this young lady, she would have never considered it. She would have never allowed the thought to even be entertained in her mind. You say, wait a minute, don't you believe that God forgives sins? Well, I also believe that God puts marriages together for a reason. And if that woman's still available and there's still an opportunity, I believe God can save her and remedy that marriage. I also believe that there is sometimes that God has kept some of you pure and chaste for so long that he is keeping you for a specific purpose. God has a perfect design for your life, and the devil knows that, and he's doing everything he can to throw a monkey wrench in and to mess up your life. This young man comes in, my relative would have never considered it. She would have never given it a moment's thought, but she's been waiting. She's been sitting around. She's been entertaining the thought. And now all of a sudden, she found that she was getting emotions involved. She felt sorry for these kids. These kids need a mother. They need their mother. Yes, they do. They need their mother. As I looked at this situation, whether you agree with me or not, here's what I've come to tell you. I believe that every young woman should have the opportunity to have a husband. A husband, not a husband plus an ex-wife plus three kids and a mother-in-law and everybody else living in the house. I believe that you got to enter into things prayerfully. I believe that there ought to be something in you that says, Lord, I know that I've been waiting and that you don't prefer anybody above me, and that I can wait long enough and know that you've got a perfect plan for my life. God's got somebody for everybody. It's a bad situation. This boy ain't praying good in church. He ain't really coming like he ought to, but all of a sudden emotions are involved. Can I tell you, it was this close to us losing her soul, ready to throw it all away and go live with this man. God has helped us to salvage it, but it would have never been that way if the walls had not been torn down and this relationship became something that it should not have been. What happens when it gets on the inside? It begins to attack your immunity. It goes right after your salvation. Immediately it starts trying to tear it down. It does everything it can to get your salvation, because your salvation in the blood of Jesus is what makes you somebody that is aware of the tricks of the devil, that is able to resist the temptation of the enemy. But can I tell you, when he comes in and he starts getting on the inside, you start falling prey to every trick, to every temptation, to every problem. You become an easy target for the devil. All that is good seems to forsake you, and everything that is evil you are now exposed to. And you're an individual that used to be strong, that used to be healthy, that used to have a prayer life, and now all of a sudden you are surrounded, you are subdued, you are sick, you are feeble, you are somebody that's inadequate of lifting up yourself. It never would have happened if you'd have made up your mind, I'm building up my immune system, and I'm not going to let the devil get in my life. You're falling prey. Your immune system, which is the blood, is second to none, but it's been spread thin because of the flesh. The blood can't be penetrated. But in areas where your flesh is rampant, some of us young people have spread that blood thin enough that we can rub up against the desires of the flesh and it doesn't sear our conscience. we'll go and we'll pray about it every Sunday and ask God to forgive us because we know it's wrong, because the blood's still there and we know we're crossing a barrier. But it's not enough blood there that it's keeping us from getting close. And we get sicker and sicker because the next thing you know, everything that you had immunity to didn't matter. If everybody in the youth group was going to go do something else, you were going to be in church, and now you have no strength to do that. Didn't matter if everybody else had chose to go do something wrong. You've got no strength to do that. Can I tell you, it is acquired. It is something that attacks your immune system. But then thirdly, it is a deficiency. A deficiency, Webster says, is an amount that is lacking or inadequate. It's a shortage. A shortage of a substance that is necessary to health. Can I tell you, you don't lose your faith in God unless you've got a shortage of the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't lose your hope in Him until you got a deficiency. What are you talking about, a deficiency? You are lacking the spiritual immune system that you should have as a Christian. Some of you right here tonight, whether you want to admit it or not, you are falling prey to things that you would have never fallen prey to when you first got saved. You've got attitudes that you never dreamed that you would have had. Your spirit is so infected with different things and what you've heard and what you've known. Can I tell you that this deficiency is creating something in you that is breaking down everything that the Bible has said is true. It is claiming every promise and it is tearing it down. And now you're somebody that you used to be strong and you could kick it out, but you catch every little spirit that's coming and going. If a young person comes in and they are fleshly and they are lusting, you become fleshly and lusting. If there's somebody that's got a little bit of rebellion, can I tell you, that's where you're getting your rebellion. Why? Because you've got no immunity. You've got no resistance. Some of you young ladies and some of you young men know it's true. You feel good about your ability to say no to the right things when you are here in the church. But the moment you get by yourself with somebody that's willing to take it the extra mile and go places you should not go, you know in yourself you don't have the resistance, nor the power, nor the salvation to tell it no. Can I tell you why? Your walls are being torn down a block at a time. The devil's coming in and he's doing everything he can. Some of you elders need to listen to me. We are not exempt. I don't care how long you've been married. The devil is preying on our ministerial folk. We need to declare to the enemy, I'm here this week because I'm building up my wall. I'm building up my immunity. I'm looking to get rid of deficiencies. I'm looking to get rid of the adversary out of my life. I'm here to get strength from God. Here's the sad case, is that people with AIDS, for years in the natural realm, we were afraid of them. Didn't want to be around them. Worried about catching something. But the reality is this, is people that have AIDS and know it are more afraid of you than you are of them. And the reason why is because you, as a healthy individual, can carry an infection or disease around in your body, and you can whip it. I'm a little over halfway done preaching. For some of you that are sleepy, okay? I'm almost there. You can kick it out. You can live with the flu and overcome it. You can have a fever and still function throughout the day. But somebody that's got AIDS, they get a little bit of that and they're in the bed and they're at the point of death. Now there's something in this. That's why we that bear large burdens don't tell everything that we know. Because you're healthy and strong, Brother Jared, you may be able to carry the sins and the iniquities and the knowings of some people's going-ons. But if some other people in the church started finding out every little detail about somebody else's life, they may not be able to handle it. So it ain't your business to spread everybody's news around everybody's home. Why? Because it can't everybody handle what you can handle. But here's what I've come to tell you. If you're handling a lot and you say, Lord, it seems to be overwhelming, that's good, because He won't put anything more upon you than that you're able to bear. And that means you can stand up and shake yourself and say, I can handle it.
I can have. Why? Because God has pre-approved this for me. I don't know more than I can know. I know there's a lot that's been put on me, and sometimes I've been beneath the load, but there is somebody living on the inside of me that is greater than he that is in the world. I'm just about done with this. It's not just a deficiency, but it is a syndrome. A syndrome is a group of signs and symptoms that occur together and categorize a particular abnormality or a condition. It is simply this. A syndrome is something that sets a habit forming pattern in your life. It's not just that you go through a valley, but it seems like with this syndrome, you are always in a valley. It's not that you make one mistake and try to recover, but your mistakes are perpetual. Your problems are eternal. It seems like you're such a mess, there is nothing you can do to dig yourself out. You've not just got a deficiency, you've got a syndrome. The devil's on the inside, and he's working his way to the outside. He's tearing you down from the inside out. But I've come to preach to everybody in this room, whether you're somebody that's still building up to keep the devil out, or if he's already in, we all still have an option. I said there's nobody here tonight that's got to walk away shaking their head, saying there's no way that I'm going to get out of this. I'm stuck with my problem. I'm stuck with my mess. No, Psalms chapter 34, verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Two verses down says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. You may be attacked on every side. You may be fighting on every hand, but there's a God that is able to deliver you in the middle of your dilemma. Somebody raise your hands and cry out, Lord, help me build up my wall. What do I need, preacher? You need to build up your immune system. How do I do that? The Bible tells us in Romans 13 and 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What are you doing when you're putting on Jesus? You are building up your immunity. When you walk in his shadow, your steps are heavier. Hallelujah. When you're in his safety and his peace, there is strength that follows you and goes before you and is on the right hand and on the left, that it doesn't matter if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil. Why? Because thou art with me. I'm not alone in this. I'm not resisting this by myself. It's not just my words or my ability or who I've grown to become, but it's the fact that Jesus is inside of me. And when I tell the devil he's got to flee, he is fleeing not because of my words, but because of the pointed finger of a son that has already overcome him, that says this child has had enough and you have got to go. You have got to flee. You have got to run. Man, I wish some of you would realize the power that you have when you stand behind that wall and you say, devil, you ain't coming in. Devil, you ain't having this life. Devil, you ain't tearing me up. Devil, you can't have me because I've got power. It's surrounding me. I said it's surrounding me. It is my defense. It is my safety. I've got power in God. Defense says 10 and 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How do I get in there? By the blood of Jesus. Now think about this for a moment. Step from the spiritual back into the natural for just a minute. How many remember Magic Johnson? And I'm showing my age.
That cat got AIDS moons ago. And he's still living today. And some of them say, well, it's because the type of AIDS that he got is this and that. Now, I'm going to tell you the big trick of it all is this, is that he's rich. And with his money, he goes every so often, very often, and gets a complete blood transfusion. Because his old blood that's in his body gets tired of the whipping it's taken from the infirmity that he has. And so he goes back and he gets the power and the good blood cells that's in somebody else. And he gets his strength back. And it helps him beat back those old nasty disease bloods. It's those blood cells that are attacking the good blood cells that's tearing down your immunity. It's all in the blood. Here's what I've come to tell you. There's so many of us right here tonight. We know this. We have walked and lived in a world for the last several years that the biggest advertisement right around the winter time starts coming on, and everybody sees a sign. Get a flu shot. Have you had your flu shot? I mean, you almost feel guilty. You walk into Walmart. Nobody says anything to you, but there's signs. Have you had your flu shot? Is it any of your business? But here's what we find out. Is that here's what a flu shot. Do you know what a flu shot is? It's not vitamins. Brother Bob, correct me if I'm wrong. It's not vitamins. It's not a B12. It's not, hey, we're going to give you this powerful vitamin C. You won't ever get the flu. No, they give you the flu. An inactive, dormant strand is put into your body. And all your good blood cells swell up, go to flexing their muscles, and they go find that dormant, inactive blood cell, that dormant, inactive flu and that virus. And they go there and they start beating that old thing up, and they whip it and they kick it out, and all of a sudden they've got a good workout and you're ready to deal with the flu that's active next time. Can I tell you what that happened? I know that you and I see that. We know it in the natural. But the same exact thing happened 2,000 years ago on Calvary when Jesus Christ gave his life and stretched his arms. Can I tell you that sin was infecting everybody and there was no shot to deliver us, but Jesus took a dormant, inactive strand of sin, the sin of the world. It couldn't be active. It couldn't live in him like it did us. It didn't have the power over him like it did us. Oh man, you got to hear what I'm saying. And his blood overcame sin. It whipped it. It beat it back, and now you and I can plunge beneath the blood, and we have immunity from the sin in this world. I'm not afraid to live in the world. Though I'm in the world, I'm not of the world. I've been around sin. I've had sin before, but I beat it back with the power, the immunity, the glory. Hallelujah! That's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Yo, you and I know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It gives us qualifications for heaven. I'm closing with this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? If it stopped right there, it would exclude us all. Because there are none that are righteous. There are none that are good. Not one. Matter of fact, the Bible goes on to say that all of our external requirements that we as holiness people, we become people that are ridiculed and called legalists because of the outward stand of religion that we have. Because we want what's on the inside to be mirrored on the outside. There to be no immorality or seduction in the way we live or we dress. We've been ridiculed for that. But can I tell you, all that we do, though it's from the deepest part of our heart, and I believe it's necessary as a Christian, it doesn't make us righteous. But all of our efforts to be righteous, Brother Jared, all of our deeds, all of our good things that we do for God, it falls at our feet as filthy rags. So there's none righteous. None of us are qualified on our own. But it goes on to say, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. If I had all night, I'd preach about all these because we find them in the church. These aren't problems that are in the world anymore. We're finding them on the pew. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Now imagine if somebody came up to you and they said, I used to have AIDS. Had what? Oh, it's good. I don't have it anymore. How do you know? Or how about somebody that has AIDS and they've had it before and say, oh yeah, I had it once, so I'm not worried here. I'll help them. You got AIDS, I'll help you. It don't matter. I've had it before. But yet with something like chicken pox, I'll never forget, I was a little boy. I was about 11 years old, and I've got a cousin that's 2 months older than I am. Me and Matt have been close all our life. We look a lot alike. He's the blonde-headed version, a little heavier version of me. And we played together all of our life. He's my second cousin. We were real close. Every time we'd come home, I came home one year from a camp. Dad had been preaching, and I had chicken pox. And at that time, me and my sister had chicken pox, and I'll never forget, my grandmother lived in a little house in New Albany that was just across a little alley that couldn't have been any farther from these steps to these steps from my aunt where Matt lived. And I came home, and we called ahead and let them know, hey, don't send Matt over. Noah's got chicken pox. Brother Matt Davis, I sat all day in that house looking out my grandmother's kitchen window on the phone, my cousin looking at me. This close, glass separating us. Man, I wish we could play. Dumb old chicken pox. I'm going, man, come on over and play with me. It's not that bad. I'll never forget, everybody always said, hey, blonde people, it's worse on them. They itch worse and they scar more. And it's bad. If Matt gets, it's going to be bad. We sat all day until about 4 o'clock that afternoon. And his mom, my Aunt Cora, finally says, you know, he's got to get him someday. After from about 7 in the morning, looking out the window, running up my grandmother's phone bill, holding on the line. Missed a whole day of playing, and finally my cousin got the go-ahead, and I saw him hang up the phone. We hung up. I couldn't wait. I was so excited and itchy. Couldn't hardly help myself. He comes busting through the door, and the first thing he said was, don't hug me. Because he was worried about getting chicken pox. Showed up 2 days later. Matt had chicken pox. But can I tell you, ever since that day, it's never, ever bothered me to go around somebody that has chicken pox. Because once you have it, you are very highly unlikely to ever get them again. And such were some of you. You know what we need in the church again? People that aren't cowering inside the sanctuary because they're afraid to get out in the world because of what they might catch. People that aren't worried about letting their teenagers maybe go someplace as a group because they're worried about the influences. But God, give us a young people again that stands up with such an influence of their own that says, we used to be. Yes, I used to be that effeminate boy. I used to be the adulterous man. Some of you looking at me right here tonight could stand up and give your testimony. And you could say, yes, I had that problem. Yes, I was a thief. Yes, I used to lust. Yes, I used to lie. Yes, I used to hate. But I don't worry about that anymore. Hallelujah. Why? Because such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are justified, but ye are sanctified. What happened? I've got a wall. I said, I got a wall. I've got some Holy Ghost scrubs. I can go in amongst the disease and not worry about it getting on me, because I have an immunity through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Stand with me all over this building. I found the cure. I've been vaccinated. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood. I've been saved. I'm born again. I'm a new man. I'm not worried about sin. Why? Because I'm defending myself every day by building a wall. I said I'm building a wall. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. I want to give a specific altar call.